the Lord God speaks to the children of Israel, speaks from the Mount Sinai as the mountain shaked and thunders and lightning were upon it, and the voice was exceeding loud, and the mountain was altogether on a smoke, and the Lord was speaking the Ten Commandments, the moral law for His universe. We've been working our way through, and we've worked our way through the first four commandments, and we observed last week that the first four commandments all dealt with the Lord. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Those four commandments dealt with the Lord. Now, in your Bible, in the authorized version of the Holy Bible, there ought to be a paragraph marking in verse 12. Now, I know today the publishers corrupt and pervert the Word of God. Many of them even put out false Bibles claiming to be the Word of God, which are not. I read one of those when I was, you know, first in the Lord, didn't know any better. But even the authorized version gets messed up by the filthy hands of these money-grubbing publishers today. And however, the authorized version of the Bible has a paragraph marking in verse 12. And what the Lord is doing here is, even by the very paragraph marking, showing you there's a break between the first four commandments and the final six commandments. The first four commandments are spiritual, dealing with man's relationship to God. The final six commandments are social, dealing with men's relationship to other people. This break occurs right here. And if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5, Deuteronomy. Nomi is law, the word for law. Deutero is the word for two or second. Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. The law is the God the Father, the Lord God, will repeat things because we need repetition. And so He repeats the giving of the law in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And after the introduction in the first five verses, at verse 6, you will see a paragraph marking in Deuteronomy chapter 5. There's a paragraph marking in verse 6. I am the Lord thy God. And now he reiterates, thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make a graven image. He goes through, and when you get down to the end of verse 15 about keeping the Sabbath day, at the beginning of verse 16 is a paragraph marking. Honor thy father and thy mother. Again, you will see the same type of break. In both places, the Lord reveals for us, demonstrates for us, the separation of the two grouping of the Ten Commandments, the two groupings. One being the spiritual, Commandments 1 through 4, your relationship with God. Commandments 5 through 10, those six commandments being social, your relationship with other people. And so the break occurs in both places. It would be my thinking, in my mind, that when the Lord God, with his very finger, wrote those Ten Commandments on the two tables of stone, in my mind it would be one tablet would have commandments 1 through 4, and the other tablet would have commandments 5 through 10. And I get that from looking at the way he's written it down for us with the breaks and the paragraph markings right here. Let us go back now to Exodus chapter 20. Now here come the second group of commandments, the social commandments, men dealing with other men. Commandment number 5 is the one we will be reading in verse 12. Verse 12 equals commandment number 5. And it reads, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. As we go through these final commandments, you will observe that each commandment will be contained within one verse. The earlier commandments, a number of verses may have applied to each commandment, but when it comes to the social commandments, men with men, one verse suffices. Now, this is a long verse. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is a commandment being given to the children of Israel and how they're to relate to their parents. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, what the Lord is showing as he's working his way through the commandments, the Lord is revealing the nature of his universe to the Jewish people. And what he's showing is that there is an hierarchy that the Lord has established in his universe. For example, more of this will be shown in the New Testament. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay, Paul, in verse 1, speaking to the young Christians in the church of Corinth, "Be ye followers of me." Paul was much older in the Lord, had a longer relationship with the Lord than these people did. Paul had learned many things on how to follow after the Lord. So he's saying, we can play a game of following the Lord. I'm close behind him. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I'm following Jesus, you're following me that's following Jesus. Sometimes you go single style, Indian file, and you know, you're following the guy in front of you who's following the guy in front of him, and he's saying, you know, there's a way that God's setting this up. Let me show you. Verse 2, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. I would have you to know the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." He says, look, there's a hierarchy. There's God, the Father. And then there's Christ. Okay? And then there's the man. And then there's the woman. And now he's saying, honor thy father and thy mother. And then under that are the children. And there's this hierarchy that God set up. This authority line that the Lord has set up. And God is the head of Christ. And Christ is the head of man. He says, I'm following Christ. And Christ is leading me to God the Father. And you're following me. And we're headed toward God the Father. And the woman is following the man. The man's the head of the woman. And, of course, the children are following after that. Now, he doesn't put it in the verse, but you're learning the hierarchy as it goes on there. Honor thy father and thy mother. There's a hierarchy, God is telling the children of Israel. There's a hierarchy. That's the way God established it. All right, what does the world think about this? The world doesn't like this. The world says, you know, I heard a lawyer saying the other day, I think children should be equal to the parents. I think children should have the same rights as adults. That's a UN charter rule, okay? I think women should be equal. We don't like this idea of a hierarchical order. We don't like this order that God has set up. And I think men should be equal to women, and children should be equal to men and other women, and they should all be like this. And when I come about it, who's God to tell me what to do? I think men should be equal to God. I think we should be as gods. I think everyone should be doing their own thing. It's right back to Genesis 3. And the Lord says, no, no, no. He says, I know you've heard all that stuff in the world, you children of Israel. But the first commandment I'm going to give you in terms of social commandments is the hierarchical one. And showing you that there is an order. There's man. There's woman. There's children. And you honor them. Honor them by honoring their place that I've given to them. Honor them for the fact that, I mean, I gave them to you to protect you, to love you, to watch over you, to teach you, to keep you out of harm's way, that thy life may be long. Parents protect children from harming themselves. Children do crazy things. They don't know. Their knowledge base is limited. When you see that little child playing around with a screwdriver and then he heads over toward that electrical outlet, rather than letting him express himself, like Dr. Spock might say, it's wise that you protect him. Correct him. Rebuke him. Get him away. This isn't a commercial for Travelocity. Am I going to die? I mean, you don't let them put the screwdriver in the... These parents honor thy father and mother because that thy days may be long. And you will see some of the advice that fathers and mothers give in the books of Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, both of them, mostly in Proverbs. And the advice is wise advice to protect children. Honor thy father and mother that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Follow the hierarchy that the Lord has set up. It's for your protection. It's for your good. It's for your benefit. It's for your correction. We all need correction. Paul says to the church at Corinth, let me correct you on some of your doctrine. Why? Because Christ has corrected me. And so the word flows down in Revelation. It goes from God giving it to Christ. I have given them the words that thou hast given me. And then Christ gives them to us. And then we pass them down the line. And the good word flows down from above, from the Father of spirits and the Father of lights in heaven. And this is the way the Lord set it up. Honor thy father and mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, again, we understand in this particular covenant, this is a good moral rule for all the universe. But within the particular covenant, specifically to the nation of Israel, God says, in this land that I'm giving you, in this land that I've set my eyes upon, in this land that I've chosen, in the land where I will allow my Shekinah glory to reside, this commandment's going to have tremendous weight behind it during this particular dispensation of the law, which is going to exist from the time we're reading here until the time Jesus Christ comes. The dispensation of the law will be operating from here in Exodus chapter 19 until Jesus Christ nails it to the cross in Matthew 27. And so for these 1,400 years while it's operating, for during that dispensation, the Lord's going to put power behind it. Let me show you some of the things that, for example, turn to Leviticus chapter 19, next book after Exodus. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19. Look at verse 3. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. In other words, part of the honoring process includes having a fear and a reverence for the mother and the father. And notice how he connects the commandments in that third verse. And keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. It's curious. He's going to, in this Leviticus, you see him connecting commandments every so often. He's connecting the commandment of honoring mom and dad with keeping the Sabbath. Do you know why? Because in the children of Israel, in the nation of Israel, the mothers and fathers had, through many years of experience, learned to keep the Sabbath. Had learned to honor God by keeping the Sabbath. That was the seal of the covenant. And one of the ways they kept it was when they went to the synagogue on Saturday, which was the Sabbath day, or when they went to the temple on Saturday or during a feast day, they didn't just go alone. They brought their children. And so by honoring the mother and father, you learn to keep the Sabbath. One of the ways you learn to keep the Sabbath is by going with mom and dad. Mom and dad will take you. That's the way it went in the nation of Israel. And you'll see this when even the Jewish people today, like it says in the book of Numbers, they're not reckoned among the nations. When you meet Jewish people, you'll notice the tremendous strength of the links of the chain of the tradition from generation to generation. Now in America, we see the links broken all the time. You'll see one generation of folks who have nothing to do with the generation that came before and have very little connected with the generation after them. Because America, everyone's doing their own thing. Because we bought into that spirit of equal rights and equal liberty and no hierarchy. And we're all gods and we're all after our own pleasure. But in the Jewish nation, you will find, I know Jewish folks I grew up with, they respected their parents. They went to the synagogue with the parents. When they had kids, they started taking their kids. And the kids go with the parents and the grandparents. And there's just this connection all together. And the Lord shows a connection right here in this verse. That by fearing the mother and father, you keep the Sabbaths, it all becomes connected. Now we're in a new covenant. We're in a new testament. We're in a new dispensation. The law has passed. We're now in the testament of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're no longer Jews. We are Christians. There are Jewish people, and Christ welcomes them. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks, the Gentiles. And here's what he's saying. When we honor our parents honor God, we'll learn how to keep the Sabbath. We'll learn how to observe the Lord's Day. We'll learn how to come to Jesus Christ. He is our rest. He is our peace. He is our Sabbath. You know, I hear parents, I've heard their testimony on television. You listen sometimes when they interview folks. And they say, well, you know, I never wanted to force my religious views on the kids. I want them to grow up and come to their own thing. Look, if you have the wrong religion, that's fine. But if you have the one religion founded by God the Father in His Son Jesus Christ, which is a relationship with God through salvation, then we as parents ought to be bringing our children so that they too can learn to keep the Sabbath and learn to come to Christ. There's a connection there. But the honoring of the mother and father even includes fearing, the right fear. The right fear. If you're a parent, your children ought to fear you. A reverential, proper fear. A fear of not bringing your displeasure. A fear of not doing the wrong thing because you've shown them the boundaries and you've shown them the consequences of crossing over those boundaries. It is absolutely insane to me as I watch. I was at a store the other day with my son. And we were in this store and there was this child just having a temper tantrum. And it was just, you could hear it throughout the whole store. We finally were working our way back and we found that one child and he was about 5 years old, 4.5 or 5 years old. And there was a 30-something year old parent that was just trying to reason with this 4 year old. This 4 year old had absolutely no fear of this bigger being. It was just, now, who's harming you? Who's causing you to scream like this? I mean, what is going on? Let me reason with you. He's trying to reason with this child. And my son's looking at me thinking, there's no possible way I could ever pull this off in this store with my father. Why? I have taught him properly through biblical means, through the right use of the Proverbs, and the loving way of correcting him, that he has fear. He knows. He has a reverential fear. I don't have to hit my son anymore. All I got to do is look. Like it says in the book of Psalms, I will guide thee with mine eye, God says. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's the right fear of God. One look. Okay, that's right. That's right. I'm not going there. And that's how it ought to be. And it's not going on today because these parents are not taught the proper way to discipline the child, the biblical way to discipline children, the biblical way. But in here they were. And the fear was taught properly in the book of Leviticus and Proverbs. Fear is included in the honoring process. It's the right kind of fear. It's a reverential fear, but it's an understanding. I cross the line, there's consequences. I could correct that 5-year-old. And he wouldn't do that with me in the store. By the way, I've noticed that about kids. They know. They know. Kids know. I have grandchildren. Sometimes they get away with things with their parents. But I look at them, and they know. I don't trust that guy. That guy, I don't trust that. I'm worried about that guy. and you, the Lord will teach you prayerfully so that they will have the right fear, which is the kind he's talking about here. Not a cowering fear, but a reverential fear and an understanding fear. Now, not only this, if the child does not obey, look at the next chapter in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. There is a penalty. Keep your finger there and turn to Deuteronomy 27. Deuteronomy 27. When the Lord was bringing them into the promised land, He had two mountains where they were to stand and they were to pronounce the blessings on one mountain, that's Gerizim, and the cursings on the other mountain, that's Ebal. And then verse 13, Deuteronomy 27:13, and these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Verse 14, and the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven image or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place. All the people shall answer and say, Amen. Watch verse 16. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. In other words, to lightly esteem your mother and father. To hang around with a group of kids in Israel and say, you know what my old man did the other day, that jerk? To speak like that in Israel during the dispensation of the law, when the Shekinah glory rested upon the temple, God didn't like that kind of rebellion, that kind of insurrection in his presence. And so that's why he says, everyone that curseth, verse back where we were in Leviticus 20, verse 9, everyone that curseth his father or mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father's mother, his blood shall be upon him. The Lord said, now again, this is the dispensation of the law. I want to tell you something. Listen, now you listen carefully. God hasn't changed. Okay? I'll tell you some honest things about God. God hasn't changed. I am the Lord, I change not. These laws that God set down to these Jewish people still stand today. What's happening now is they're buffered by grace in the age of grace, but they will all be resumed during the tribulation and the millennium. That's right. That's right. See, right now, the age of grace, and God is pulling his hands back with long suffering and saying, okay, we're running a dispensation of grace now. We haven't finished our dispensational teachings. I'll teach them to you. But the dispensation of grace will come to an end. And when it does, we reinstitute the law on planet Earth. And that's why there's going to be blood flowing to the horses' bridles. Read the book of Revelation. And God says, I don't tolerate this stuff. You people think because I'm not bringing judgment down every other second, matter of fact, it says in Ecclesiastes, because judgment is not brought speedily against an evil work, then it's fully set in the hearts of the Son of Man to do evil. Oh, God doesn't care. He does. And these are his laws right here. And when he sets up the millennium, these are going to be the laws that are operant during the millennium. Christ will be enforcing these laws. When Jesus Christ rules in Jerusalem, when some kids get together in a gang and curse their parents, they're going to be dead. That's what's going to happen. This is Bible. Okay? I'm just telling you what the Bible says, all right? There's penalties. And God executes his penalties. Age of grace, he's got his hands off. When his son comes back, the law gets reinforced again. He says, I didn't come to destroy the law. I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. And you'll pay the uttermost farthing. Read the Sermon on the Mount. We'll get there next week. I'll show you. But tonight I just want to show you there's penalty associated with it. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. It's good to live in the age of grace, isn't it? You can be an American and stay alive. If it weren't the age of grace, all your Americans would be dead. Practically. In the 1960s, that would have been the end of America. Okay, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And we'll cover that next week when we get to the verses. I'll show you how this works. It's the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. The teaching that the Lord's going to give over and over and over to his people is the respect for the hierarchy that he set up. And a child should be so thankful that God didn't let that child be born alone, all by himself, to fend for himself out in a wilderness somewhere. And I know that, you know, living in America today with the sitcoms and the kind of things that go on, the children are taught to curse and not respect their parents. But if they would think for just a little bit on what God does, I thank the Lord for the parents I had. I was greatly blessed by having my mother and my father. And he's saying, you know, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. They shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head. There will be chains about thy neck. When I think about the things my parents taught me to stay away from bad things. My parents taught me to do good things. God kind of puts that in the heart. That's part of the conscience that he puts inside. Now, I know some people have seared their conscience, but that's a minority of people that have seared their conscience. And something funny happens to a person when they become a parent. I remember, as crazy as I was when I was young in my halcyon days doing the things I did, when my first son was born, I remember that sobering effect as I was leaving the hospital that night thinking, I have someone that's depending on me. I mean, that even as a lost atheist, which is what I was, something stirred on the inside. I've got someone depending on me. And I'm not going to teach him to run out and play with the cigarette lighters and gasoline. I'm going to teach him good things. Parents teach the right things to children. It's their friends that teach them the wrong things. It's the fools that they hang out with. Who taught you to smoke cigarettes or drink? Was it your parents? I know who offered me my first cigarette. It wasn't my folks. I know who offered me my first drink. It wasn't my folks. I know who tempted me to do drugs the first time. It wasn't my folks. Honor thy mother and thy father. God's put them there for a reason. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Turn to Proverbs 23. I mean, all throughout the scriptures, when they would go to the synagogue, these were the good and right things they were hearing. Thank God for the church house. Thank God there's a place where folks can come and hear the truth and the Word of God. It troubles me when I see, and I don't watch often, but when I'm at the hospital and I pass by people's rooms and they're watching Oprah and Dr. Phil and all these folks giving psychology which is contrary to the Word of God. I thank God for the church house where you can come and you can hear the Word of God and hear the right things and the right kind of teachings. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. You know, get older, and you get a little more feeble, and you can't do the things you used to be able to do, and she can't take care of you the way she used to, and doesn't think as quickly as she used to, maybe a little Alzheimer sets in. He's saying, you know what? Respect and love, right to the very end, and honor. I know this is in your heart. I know God's placed it there. In the New Testament, turn to Matthew chapter 15 to see Jesus. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 4, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and he says, God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Jesus is reiterating the law to these people. They were still under the law at this time. Jesus had not yet died on the cross and nailed the ordinances to the cross. So they were still under the law. And Jesus, you know, says in the Matthew, when he comes back, he will reestablish the law in Jerusalem. And the law will be reestablished. The age of grace will have passed. The age of grace doesn't go on for all of eternity. It's the sixth of seven dispensations. And then it passes. And we move back to the king setting up the law in the kingdom, when he brings the kingdom. The rules of the kingdom are the very things you're reading in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Exodus. Those are the laws of the kingdom that the king will establish. Those are his rules. He says it right here. Let him die the death. Jesus reiterates this. There's a penalty for not honoring father and mother. Now, in Ephesians, Paul says, now that we're in the age of grace, let me show you how it works in the church. Because Ephesians is a book about the unity of the church age. So Ephesians, Jesus now has taken the curse of the law from us, and now we're in the age of grace, where by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it's not of works, it's not of the works of the law, lest any man should boast, it's of the grace of God through Jesus Christ and faith in Christ Jesus. But Paul says, even in this age, in the age of grace, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul says, even in this very age, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. First commandment with promise that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now he's speaking to those who are in Christ Jesus in the church of Ephesus. Paul is not making laws in Rome. Paul is not making laws in the region of Turkey. He's not out there making laws in a civic order. He's speaking to church members. He's speaking to born-again Christians. And he's saying, when it comes to born-again Christians, and those in this congregation sitting here, in the church in Ephesus, or any church, he's saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. This is right. Honor thy father and thy mother is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. He's saying, here's what. God the Father, my Father, God in heaven, through Jesus Christ, watching born-again Christian children, says, when I see a born-again Christian child honoring and obeying his mother and father, then my hand of protection is on him. My hand of protection is on him. This is the one commandment given to children in the New Testament. Obey thy mother and father in the Lord. Obey thy parents in the Lord. And if you do that, children, my hand of protection is upon you. And you have God's mighty hand of protection on that child. What if the child doesn't obey? Then God may lift his hand of protection and something may happen to that child. But God says, I promise right here, it will be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. See, I always try to encourage people, when you're reading the Bible, read the commandments that are written directly to you. That one is written directly to the children. This is a good one when you're studying Bible to have them read this and let it sink down deep in their ears and let it water upon their heart. Then, of course, in the next verses, it talks about the fathers, provoking not your children to wrath. So father wants to learn how to be the right kind of father that doesn't provoke the child to wrath. And he'll learn that in the book of Proverbs. And mothers will learn how to love the children. And these are the things the Bible will teach, but we want to give these commandments to the children so that they may live long on the earth. We want to bring them to the church house where they learn these things. We want to help instruct them and correct them and show them instruction and righteousness so they can do right, so God's hand of protection be on them. So a parent doesn't have to worry today. I don't worry when my children leave the house. Why? Well, first off, I love the Lord. As a father, I've tried to instruct them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and not provoke them to wrath and teach them the right way and bring them to church and read Bible with them and do those things. And when they're out there, I fully believe God's right hand of protection is on them. And I'm able to rest in the Lord. And so the Lord would like to set this up for us. So these promises are given here. This is a promise. This is the first commandment with promise. There's a promise given. So we instruct our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, it's easy for children to love Jesus. It's real easy. If we bring little children, I see some of the little children we have here. You know they love Jesus. It's so easy for us to tell them about Jesus. I mean, the Lord says, of such is the kingdom of heaven. I mean, he's got a hold of those tender hearts. And as long as we do the right thing as parents and instruct them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they learn to obey in the Lord's hand's on them. You can rest as a parent. Now, this is repeated in Colossians 3. I think a couple books to the right. And verse 20. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now notice how he goes a little further with it here. Not just obey your children in the Lord, obey them in all things. He says, take out the garbage. Well, is that in the Lord or not? No, that's a thing that the parent just gave to you to do. This is pleasing to the Lord. If a child wants to please God, what you want to teach them is the child will please God when they obey mommy and daddy. That's the thing they can do best to please the Lord. And again, God's hand of protection, that it may go well, and thy life may be long upon the earth. Now, turning a couple books to the right, look at 2 Timothy, chapter 3. As Timothy is learning things from Paul the Apostle, Paul is teaching him how to behave in the Church of God and how to teach those at the Church of God to behave. But he's also saying, let me warn you what's going to happen outside the church house. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. He's saying, here's the problem. There's a natural tendency inside of us. We have been conceived in sin, and we have a natural man. And that natural man does not like God's order. That natural man tries to invert the order. And what you'll see slowly happening is you're finding this entire thing becoming inverted. And you're finding children ruling the roost, telling the mothers what to do, and the mothers are driving around here, there, 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 you know, taking the kid everywhere he wants to go. And the mother telling the father what to do, and the father using Christ's name in vain, and giving God a new last name of damn. And the whole thing is inverted. And he said, this is what's going to happen in the last days. Children will be disobedient to parents, and the parents will obey the children. Madison Avenue has figured this out. Do you know who they target with their advertising? Kids. Kids. They know the kids will wear those parents down. And they're disobedient to parents. And he says, this is what's happening. The whole thing's going to turn upside down. So the church house is going to be the one place where things are upright. And the world, the world's upside down. And our job as preachers is to go like Paul and Barnabas did and turn the world upside down, which will put it right side up. And the whole thing's inverted. During the age of grace, this is what's happening. So what's going to happen? Well, there's going to be a complete change. When the age of grace ends, look at Mark 13. Jesus will tell you what's going to happen in the tribulation. Mark 13. Verse 4, they're asking him privately in the Mount of Olives. They're saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? This is the end of the world and thy coming. And Jesus gives a discourse here on the signs of the times at the very end in the tribulation. And he says in verse 24, but in those days after that tribulation, so you know the period we're talking about. We're talking about the end and the tribulation period. In verse 12, this is one of the things that will happen. The brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father, the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. You will see one of the signs, you'll know you're in the tribulation, when children are rising up and killing their parents. Something completely unthinkable, going back to where we were in Exodus 20. Absolutely unthinkable that a parent would that a child will kill his parent during the dispensation of the law. He says, when you get in that tribulation period, things are going to be so out of control, children will be rising up against their parents and putting them to death. God has put inside the little child's heart, it says, the glory of children are their fathers. He's put something inside that child's heart to naturally to look up to that father. And things will be so out of order at the end. The spiritual thing will be so messed up. The wires of their antenna for spiritual things will be so cut, so destroyed. There'll be so much static on that signal that parents will be killing or be killed by children. Children will be killing parents. Of course, we see this every so often in the news. You know, we're stunned when you hear about a kid that comes home with a baseball bat and beats his mother to death. Or a kid that comes home and chops up one of his parents, or comes home and shoots his parents, or stabs his parents. You hear about these things. We hear testimonies about this on radio stations, about kids who think the Lord finally got saved, but how they used to torment their parents. The mother used to have to lock the door of the bedroom so the kid wouldn't come in and beat her and do things. And in the tribulation, it'll be just when the Holy Spirit's taken out and the church is gone, it'll just be that spirit of disobedience and rebellion, and the spirit of Antichrist and spirit of error will be full-blown. And this will be going on. So what's going to happen? What's God going to do? Well, turn back to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. What's going to happen is God is going to take it, you know, the candle of man, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Talking about that lamp of his soul and his spirit is going to be end up not just going to lose his body, he's going to lose his soul. And turn to Proverbs 30. And this is where we're coming when we get to it in the tribulation. The Lord will bring judgment. Proverbs 30 and verse 17. And the eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. That's Revelation chapter 19. See, one of the things that's going to happen when the church is taken out and the age of grace is over and the tribulation begins, God's going to reinstitute the law. And for that 7-year period, he's going to use as his enforcers beasts of the field. And one of the things that happens right now, you read, remember we were in our studies in Genesis, that God had put the fear and the dread of man on all the beasts, that'll be lifted. And the birds that fly will now start going after people, just like in the Alfred Hitchcock movie. And those little squirrels that run around that seem to be so friendly will come with those big teeth and bite. And the beasts of the field, you read about it in the book of Kings, when the bears come out of the woods and go after the children. You wonder, why is God letting that happen? Because it's tribulation time. And God's going to enforce his law during the tribulation. And so back where we were in Exodus 20, God gives a good commandment. He says, let me give you the first social commandment, the most important social commandment, because the family unit is the unit I started in the garden, and it's the family unit that's going to hold together this nation. And so the first and most important commandment in your social relationships is the relationship within the family, and it's honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And that's the first social commandment that's given. And it's the most important one. You know, as we see this nation falling apart, it's falling apart because a nation, like a wall, is made up of bricks. They're made up of little units. You make a wall up one brick at a time. And a nation is nothing more than a collection of families. And families are the bricks that make up this nation. And what's happening is the bricks are being broken and fractured and splintered. And you're seeing the nation come apart. And God says, when it comes to my children in the nation of Israel, I want to make sure they're strong bricks. They hold together one family at a time, linked together generation by generation by generation. And the mortar that will keep those bricks together, Commandments 1 through 4, it'll be God. He's the glue that will keep it together. They get those first four commandments right, and then they get that fifth commandment right, and these other ones, and it'll be a strong nation. It'll be a strong wall that'll separate those that know good from evil, the clean from the unclean. the holy from the unholy. That's the commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, when I grew up, my father and mother gave me good instruction. I disobeyed at times. I paid the price. I obeyed more than I disobeyed. And I'm here today. And I'm healthy. And I'm in my 50s. And my life is going long in the land. And it's good. I thank the Lord that He gave me good parents. If you're a parent, the Lord wants to take the best out of us, make the best with us, and teach our children well. And if you're a child, and you are somebody's child, we ought to honor our mothers and fathers. Honor their memories if they're gone. Honor them personally if they're here. Despise them not when they get old. In a nation now, we want to shove them off into nursing homes. But this is a wonderful time to show honor by taking care of them, by showing love for them. Sometimes if medically you can't take care of them personally, by making sure that they're just not off there and you just make one phone call once a week. They spent time visiting us when we were young. As God's children, this commandment still holds in the age of grace we saw in the book of Ephesians. It still holds. So may we obey it. May we please the Lord. This is pleasing to God. And may we show the lost how God's order works better than the United Nations. Amen. Any questions on what we looked at? Next week we'll look at some of the other social commandments. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great commandment here. Thank you for establishing the family, the only institution you established before the fall. And Lord, by your strength, help our families to be strong. Help us to honor you. Help us to have love one for another in the family. Help us as parents to love our children the right way, and help us as children to honor our parents in a way that's pleasing to thee. Thank you, Father, for this teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.